It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
94 WIP FM HD1 Philadelphia from the Tasty Cake Studios. This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Radio on a lovely Saturday afternoon. I'm James Seltzer. With me, as always, to my immediate right, the editor-in-chief of BleedingGreenNation.com, Mr. Brandon Lee Gouten, BLG. What's going on, brother?
The Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
You're damn right they are. Also with us as well, someone who laid it on the line for a decade plus for this team, the one, the only, Mr. 72, Trey Thomas. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. Bad. I have to turn my mic on. Come on, man. Turn my mic on.
Come on, Mueller.
I'm doing good. You know, feeling really good. You know, giant leprechaun day. You know, a little green? Yeah, a little green.
Yeah, well, you guys made fun of me because I came in with no green. I actually totally forgot it was St. Paddy's Day. I'm driving in. I see people running around in green. I call my wife. I'm like, hey, it's St. Paddy's Day. She's like, yeah, it is, obviously. So I'm greenless, but you guys are taking care of the green for us.
All in.
Speaking of green, a lot has happened since the last time the three of us talked. A lot of moves by the Eagles and other teams, obviously. Let's get into kind of looking at what's happened so far, and then we're going to look ahead and what's next, what's coming down the line. But let's start. Trey, I'll start with you. Of all the moves that have happened so far, what's the one that stands out to you that's going to make the biggest impact this upcoming season?
I think one of the biggest impacts is you're bringing in Michael Bennett. You know, I think he's going to be someone that's really going to, you know, really another one to kind of get after the quarterbacks, another, you know, force to be reckoned with for a lot of the offensive lines that these guys get a chance to face. And he's making a lot of quarterbacks scared right now.
Yeah, you could say that. This whole D-line in general is going to make a lot of quarterbacks scared, obviously. Yeah. Haloti Ngata brought in as well. BLG, what move stands out to you as the move that – is the biggest one so far?
Well, I think bringing Bradham back is just huge. The fact that you were, because I thought he was gone. Like, that's everything we had kind of been hearing, was that, you know, he might have a little bit of a nice market for himself, go out there in free agency, get paid. That didn't happen. You look at his contract, it first gets reported as 5 years, $40 million. It's not a 5 years, $40 million deal. It's like, it's as low as like a 1 year deal as if they really want to. Like, the commitment there isn't big. So you got Nigel Bradham back, which is huge. He was the guy who was most consistent and most reliable at linebacker for this team over the past 2 years, played the most snaps of any backer for them. He has that versatility, as we saw, to not only play the strong side like he did in 2016, but then Jordan Hicks goes down, comes in last year, not only fills in for him, but able to kind of, you know, control the defense and make the calls as well. So getting him back to me was huge for this defense, because if you didn't get him back, linebacker would have been a huge need.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think when you get Bradham back in here, especially when you look at the depth at linebacker, we'll get into what might happen with Michael Kendricks down the road in just a little bit. And, of course, they bring in Corey Nelson as well. But with the Hicks injury coming back,
Trey,
you would have to say that linebacker, even with Bradham coming back, still potentially the most unsettled spot on the team right now.
Yeah, definitely, because you still just need a little bit more depth. I think we're all trying to find out who Corey Nelson is, to get a little bit more intel on him, to see what kind of player he's going to be. Who knows? Michael Kendricks, it's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out. You have Jordan Hicks that'll be coming back. But I don't know, man. You're still going to need to go out there and find some guys and bring them in, probably draft some guys later on in the round that could possibly fill in. But, we'll see who Nelson is once we start moving around on the field. I don't know. We'll get a feel for it.
Yeah, interesting. And to your point about the Bradham contract, Brandon, I think that is – that's huge. It's basically a year-to-year deal, which is shocking, especially you see Anthony Hitchens go to Kansas City and get $9 million a year. You assumed that Bradham was going to at least get something similar.
Yeah.
To get them on that type of deal was a real coup by Howie for this team. So let's look at where we stand now. The Michael Bennett move, the Haloti Ngata move, the linebackers move we've been talking about. When you look at this team right now, Brandon, what's next? What areas of this team, what do they need to do? Because it looks like, they've done a pretty decent job of they already had 20 of 22 starters coming back. We've all heard that a million times. Go out, upgrade some spots. What's next?
Well, that's the awesome thing right there. They don't have to do anything. There's nothing like, oh, man, we don't have a left guard. We got to get one. It's not that situation, which is rare, or at least in past off seasons, there's always been like, all right, they need a safety. They need a cornerback. Like last year in 2016, they desperately needed, or even last year, they needed a wide receiver. So there's nothing of that immediate need, but there's some more depth you could use. Obviously, tight end is obvious. I mean, Zach Ertz is the only returning tight end from last year's roster in terms of the players who are on the 53-man who's going to be back next year. You need a backup behind him because, as we saw, Zach Ertz missed a couple games last year. Not a lot, but two. You still need those guys who could step up, and you had them last year because Brent Celek and Trey Burton were really good backups. It was almost like they didn't miss a beat when Zach Ertz was out. I think he missed the Rams game and he missed the Broncos game, and they won both of those games and they played pretty well. So they need more depth there. I think you're looking at a wide receiver still. I think they'd like to add a veteran to the mix. Jeremy Maclin is out there. I think he makes a lot of sense just because I think he has interest in coming back. It doesn't count against the comp pick formula since the Ravens cut him. I think he would be able to come back at a good price. So you're trying to fill out the roster still with some depth guys, kind of trying to figure out, where you can kind of replace some of those guys you've lost.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's very, it's a strange feeling for us. We've never been in this situation, obviously, as the Super Bowl champions. But on top of that, to be in a situation where you feel pretty good about the roster. We're always so angst-ridden in the offseason. We're always looking to what can get us there. And now that we've gotten there and we have a really strong roster still, it seems to take a little bit of the angst and all that away from you. But, Trey, when you look at the roster right now as it's currently comprised after the moves that have been made, Brandon talks about tight end, about wide receiver. What are the spots that you look at this roster and you say, all right, we're not finished there. More needs to happen.
I think you need a little bit more depth at the offensive line position, especially at the tackles, just to see where Jason Peters is going to come back. He is coming off of a pretty significant knee injury, but I know he's been training extremely hard, getting ready to come back. But if there is an issue and you're stuck out there with just Vitae, I think that you're going to need to have someone else come in and kind of fill the void if both of them go down,
Or Johnson gets suspended. If he gets suspended, he misses 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that they have him on just water right now. No supplements for Lane.
Water and Bud Light.
Bud Light. That's it. Just make sure you keep him off of any questionable supplements. But you just want to make sure. I think just getting depth on that offensive line a little bit, just to kind of see how things playing out.
Well, Trey, let me follow up on that with you and talk about Jason Peters.
Mm-hmm.
36 years old.
Yeah.
He's had two Achilles tears, came back, which is unreal. I mean, that is a brutal injury. Tears the ACL. We obviously hear that he's doing very well in his recovery and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He's 36 years old. He has played a lot of football. He's had a lot of wear and tear on that body. Trey, can this man who you've seen play, all that type of stuff, can he come back and play at the level he played at before after this?
I think so, because this is a totally different game than where it was before. you know, where the coaches are taking care of their players with training camp, with practice. So that kind of adds to your longevity. You know, it'll be interesting to see because, you know, he's going to come in phenomenal shape. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, when you start to get the bull rush and all the different moves, you know, are your hamstrings going to be right? Are you going to have growing issues? Because now as offensive tackle, you know, you always have to stop and go and change the direction sometimes can cause a problem when you haven't had to move like that in a while. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But other than that, I think that Jason Peters can come back and he will be one of the top offensive linemen in the game again.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm done doubting Jason Peters.
Yeah,
I'm done doubting that this guy can keep coming back and keep doing it. He's going to be 50 and playing left tackle for the Eagles, and we're going to be like, wow, he's still out there doing it. That's amazing.
Yes.
But I'm with you, and I think it's an interesting situation. BLG, let's shift that to the cap, because there's been a lot of talk about the potential for someone like Jason Peters to restructure. We see Vinny Curry. They can't come to a deal. Vinny Curry is gone. Where do the Eagles stand with the cap right now, and how is it going to affect what they could do moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you restructure Zach Ertz, you restructure Lane Johnson, you freed up quite a bit of money here, but you still have to pay, you know, Nada. That was some money right there. You paid Corey Nelson a little bit, and you paid Nigel Bradham. So some of these guys are making money. They have a decent amount right now. It depends, you know, the exact amount depends where you go. There's a lot of different figures out there, but it's under $10 million, so it's not a lot to work. They have something; it's something to work with. But here's the thing to keep in mind: they still have to pay Carson Wentz in the future.
Yep.
Like you can't. It's not, and cap rolls over. I think that's something that people kind of. I don't know if it's the most for the most.
Yeah, I don't
thing.
Think a lot of people know that.
Yeah, because you look at the NBA; it's different. Like NBA, you can spend how, like, that's why the Sixers were able to give JJ Redick like $23 million or whatever they gave him for a single year, because it doesn't matter year to year. NFL, it does. So I think, you know, that's something they have to keep in mind. They're not going to necessarily just spend all that because they have it, but they have enough money here, like, to do some of those moves I was saying earlier, to bring in some depth on the roster. And, you know, if there's a guy they really like out there, they could also do that. I don't know who that would be, but I don't think they're done in free agency yet by any means.
All right, we got a little breaking news. I'm not great at checking Twitter and all that during the show. Luckily, our good buddy John Barchard texts me. Vinny Curry to the Bucks, $11.5 million guaranteed. So the Bucks are just taking all our D linemen who are leaving and just starting a new Eagles South out there.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Let's talk about those two guys, Trey. The loss of Bo Allen, the loss of Vinny Curry. Obviously, Nada comes in, Bennett comes in. Is the D line going to hurt from those losses, or are we better?
Well, you know what? I think that it kind of hurts with Bo, I think, you know, just because I think Bo was younger. And to me, you know, I've worked with Bo before, you know, when I was out there, you know, with on the coaching staff, on the defensive side of the ball, being able to watch Bo and how he can move. I was always impressed by how agile Bo was, you know, as an inside guy. You know, with Vinny Curry, you know, his production just wasn't where you needed it to be for the money that he was getting paid. You know, hopefully, you know, going, you know, a change of environment will inspire him to work on a couple of different things and make his game a little better. You know, and I think it'll work out for him, you know. But, you know, we have brought in some guys to replace, you know, the guys that we've lost. And that's just how the game is going to go. You know, that's just what it is. You're always going to lose guys, and new guys are going to come in and just fill the void, and then we'll just see how it plays out.
888-729-9494. If you want to weigh in, tell us what you think is next. Who's still on this roster? Who might not be coming up? We're going to talk about that coming up as well. I know there's a certain player on this team technically right now that BLG believes will not be come the start of next season. We'll get into that as well. And also just your recap. Like, what do you think of what's happened so far? Is this team better right now? Are they worse? Or is it just exactly the same? My biggest question when it comes to that is the chemistry. We just saw a season that was the definition of team chemistry. All you could ever want from the concept of a team. And now some of those guys are leaving and new guys are coming in. Trey Thomas played in the NFL for 11 years. He played in this city for a decade. No one can answer the question about people leaving, people coming in, and what that does to chemistry better than that guy. That's coming up next. Plus your calls, 888-729-9494. 94.94. It's Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gowton, James Seltzer. It's BGN Radio on 94WIP.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94WIP.
I can't talk because I'm dancing right now. It's BGN Radio. James Seltzer, Brandon Lee Gowton, Trey Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Before the break, mentioned the concept of team chemistry and what we saw this past season here in Philadelphia, the special season that we saw with what happened in that locker room and these guys and the underdog and the whole thing and those guys believing in themselves, and that's all that mattered. And I think, you know, it's hard to argue that it was not, if not the main factor, one of the main factors and the reason this team was able to finish it out and win the Super Bowl. And now we start to see some of those guys leave. Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen, Brent Celek, guys who are legitimate pieces, leaders, all that type of stuff on this team. Trey, How much does that matter? When guys leave like that and you have this special thing going and there's changeover, there's always changeover in the NFL. That's part of the NFL life. But when you break up a team like this, obviously break up a strong word, but when you start to make changes, how can that affect that chemistry, that locker room?
It can a little bit, but for the most part, because you might have certain guys that add a certain dynamic to the locker room that can be missed when they're away. Like a Hugh Douglas when he was in the locker room with us. I mean, you knew he was going to be just one of those guys that was walking around yelling and doing stuff, you know, just wild. That's why I love our job. You know, we can just do stuff like that and it's not frowned upon. But, you know, it was, you know, certain instances like that, it could be missed. But I think it's up to the coaching staff to kind of help mold the new guys into fitting into the pattern, into the system of how things flow. And I think that, you know, unless you're just like a total ass, you know, you come in and you kind of, you know, you get adjusted and then you start playing your part in it. Because now one of the things that are kind of hard, that can be missed sometimes, is if it's a leader, one of your main leaders on your team.
Yep.
You know, that
like
could be
Malcolm
a problem.
Like if Malcolm Jenkins were gone this offseason, then you'd be like, oh, that could be a real issue for the chemistry in the locker room.
But even when Malcolm Jenkins did come here at first, there was still kind of a little bit of, let me, you know, because you may have been a leader in New Orleans, but then when you come here, you kind of have to,
earn
it a little bit, and it takes a little time to kind of build that momentum. So, you know, that's where it's a problem, like where you have a different leader coming in and something like that. But this team is already established. Your main guys are still here. So we don't need anybody that's going to come in and, hey, everybody, come follow me.
Right.
You know, you just come in, get into the locker room, get around the guys, and just play your part and do your thing. You don't have to come in and do anything else other than that.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. And the concept that a strong locker room that already has its identity, knows its identity, has strong leaders at the top, is in a lot better shape to handle this type of stuff and to keep that positivity, that chemistry moving forward.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense. Speaking of the locker room, BLG, and we've talked a little bit before about this, but the concept of there are guys here who are on the team right now but will not be by the start of the season. Very likely there are people here, and I know...
Yeah, like Nick Foles.
I was just about to say that, you know, I think Foles will be here at the start of the season, but it's
I'm
one of those things...
Yeah.
Right, well, look, but he might not be if Teddy Bridgewater's knee goes out. What, you know, that not specific, I'm using it as an example, but if something like that happens, all of a sudden Foles has some value. But outside of Foles, who's, you know, kind of... We'll see. And it looks like he might be back at this moment. Who on this team right now won't be here by the start of the season?
I want to get to the Foles thing real quick because of just of how we saw this Jets trade today. And that's kind of a weird thing because we all thought Buffalo wanted to move up because they were getting all these picks. And all of a sudden, okay, the Jets leapfrogged them. So do they get the quarterback they want? And if they don't, does that cause them to be like, all right, plan B, now we got to do Foles? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if anything, that's the only thing
you're talking
I could
about
see.
Buffalo, obviously.
Yeah, Buffalo. That's the only thing I could see now. Yeah. But
interesting also, the Jets go out and spend $25 million on Bridgewater and McCown, and then they're like, hey, we're going to go get a guy in the first round too. Why not just sign McCown and go get a young quarterback?
They're copying the Eagles strategy.
Beside the point.
Just
yeah.
invest all the resources you can in quarterback sure. and hope it works out. I think the other guy to obviously watch for is Michael Hendricks. And now I know people are going to be like, oh.
I'll believe it when I see it, BLG.
Well, that's what you said to me. People are going to be like, oh, they've said that for the last million years now. And yes, they have, to be fair. But now more than ever, I actually believe it because Michael Hendricks has a $7.6 million cap hit on this team right now. It's one of the highest on the team. And when you think about how in 2016, this is a guy who Jim Schwartz clearly is like not the biggest fan of. He only played 27% of the snaps in 2016 when Hicks and Bradham were healthy. And now, you know, then you add Corey Nelson into the mix. And apparently the reports are out there that the Broncos offered him similar money, but he turned it down because he thought he had had more of an opportunity for playing time in Philadelphia. He even said it during his press conference this week. He said that they're telling me I have the opportunity to start here. So you bring in Corey Nelson. You still have the draft. You can still, you could maybe sign some depth guys still in free agency. I think Kendricks is finally gone. I think, they're looking to save that $4.4 million they can get by trading him. And, again, they don't have any day two picks still. I don't think you're going to get a day two pick for Kendricks, but you could get maybe a fourth, which helps you trade up, or a fifth. So I think he's finally gone.
Wow. I'll believe it when I see it, but it does, more than ever, it really does make a lot of sense, especially when you look back to last offseason and Kendricks, telling the media that he requested a trade and that whole thing that went away.
He wants to be gone.
He wants to be gone. He doesn't want to be here, and I think you're right. I think that the Eagles, if they have their druthers, don't want him to be here either comparative to the other options. What's your take on this, Trey?
Man, I think everybody wants to be here right now.
Yeah, buddy.
because this is the team right now. It's hot. Everybody loves Doug as a coach. Yep. Everybody loves the organization right now. I think every free agent that's out there on the market right now, if they could, would come to this city and play just because they know the love that they get here from the fan base.
So that's a real thing, Trey. Like,
yes.
The point is, like, the veterans looking for a ring, the guys who want to go to somewhere where that's a real thing that
Absolutely.
You believe happens in the NFL.
Absolutely. Because even when Chris Long, when he went to New England last year, he knew that, all right, I'm going to go to New England where I have a chance to go win a ring. And they know right now everybody's looking at this team and they're like, you know what? You have Wentz coming back. You have all of these pieces coming back. You know what? If they would offer me, I would come and play for this team. Even Sue was like, look, I'll come and play for free.
Yeah, right.
Everybody wants to come here.
I think that turned out to be a bit of a lie. Sue likes his money, too.
Oh, yeah,
but
he wants his money.
But I'm with you. 888-729-9494 if you want to chime in. But I'm with you, and I think that's really interesting. So it is a real thing that those guys will be willing to take potentially less money on a veteran contract, whatever.
Or similar money. We saw apparently the Lions gave him a similar offer.
If you've never had the taste of postseason football, absolutely. Absolutely, because that's like the crown jewel of everything that you do. I mean, it is.
What you work for.
That's all you work for. You work for that ring. So, if you can get on a team that gives you an opportunity to go and get it, why not?
That's really interesting. All right, along these lines, quickly, we mentioned Kendricks. Let's touch on a couple of the other guys who left. We mentioned Vinnie Curry and Bo. Patrick Robinson, Brandon, what kind of – look, all of a sudden they've got 8 million corners on this team, but what kind of a loss in your mind is Patrick Robinson?
Well, I think that's something I actually even probably should have mentioned at the top of the show when we were talking about biggest needs and what they do now. They need to figure out who's playing slot corner because I don't know who it is. I don't even know if they know who it is because the fact that – they wanted to bring Patrick Robinson back, and that's
and
what
made
the reports
a real
were,
effort. Yeah,
and apparently made a real effort to do so. That tells me that
they don't feel great.
They're
not
like, all right, we don't need them, and we have all these other slot corners. I don't think the guys they have right now project to be those kind of shiftier, smaller slot corner guys. A lot of them are guys you think of as outside cornerbacks. So I think like Rizzle Douglas, for example.
Sure.
So I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, and I think that's why losing Robinson hurts. Obviously, you couldn't pay him what the Saints were. I think $10 million guaranteed. It's 4 years, $20 million total. Like that's a pretty significant amount of money. It's a great deal for him, and he deserves it. But if you're the Eagles and you don't have a lot of cap space to spend and you're like, all right, we got this slot corner, and he was one of the best defenders on the team last year, but he turns 31, and he's had an up-and-down career, and we saw how bad he was in training camp. He was horrible.
Hmm.
Like, do we really trust that he's just suddenly going to be good now and we can trust that? So I think that was a kind of a hard thing for them, but they got to find a slot corner now. And with the increase, we always say it's a passing league. Like, that's important. Your slot corner, you might not think of them as a starter. You might only be thinking of, like, your base players as starters, but slot cornerback plays a lot. So I think that's a really big move.
It's basically a starter at this point. All right, Trey, I'll throw it to you. Who on this roster right now? I've heard a lot of people say Jalen Mills could play slot corner. I don't know. Daryl Worley coming over from Carolina, outside guy there. Did they trade for him because they think they can move him inside? Who on this team right now could you see taking that role?
I have absolutely no idea. Yeah. You know, just because that is one of those positions that you have to be an extremely talented guy. I have no idea. Maybe Worley could step in and play that. You know, other than that, we'll have to see.
Maybe Sidney Jones. You start him kind of on the outside. Inside.
I always thought they would start him on the outside, but Talent. Sidney Jones is talented enough to do whatever they want him to do. But I feel like, you know, if you've got that type of talent that you can put on the outside, you generally do.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a really interesting conundrum because they have so many cornerbacks, you wouldn't think that there's any issues there. But, you know, that could be a really interesting roster decision coming up. Mm-hmm. LeGarrette Blount. Trey, are they going to feel the loss of LeGarrette Blount?
No, I don't think so. You know, Blount did a really good job.
Let's put a disclaimer out there. When we talk about any of these guys being gone, they're all legends. Yes. We appreciate everything they did. They are all awesome, but this is the reality of the NFL.
Yeah, and I think Blount, you know, postseason Blount, you know, in the playoffs was out of this world.
Special.
I mean, he was out of this world. During the season, it wasn't as what I wanted to see from him. He
especially
is a liability.
Especially on consistent wise.
Yeah, definitely when it comes to blitz protection. I mean, you know, there were times he was ducking his head, linebackers come through clean, you know, and you need that guy. You need someone like that to kind of man up and come and, you know, block the guy. There were too many times where it just seemed like he was out there with his eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Clement and your other guys that are coming back can fill that void. I don't think that he's someone that you're going to really miss that much, because I think that he limited the offense a little bit just because he was a between the tackles guy, and you know, he wasn't someone that
you're throwing him the ball when
you're
he's
not going to throw a screen pass to Blount, you know. So I think that, you know, he's not someone that you're going to be that's going to be missed. I think that these backs are going to step up and carry the load.
Yeah, I think that especially when you look at this offense and what Doug likes to do, I think they prefer backs who get versatility, guys who can catch the ball, guys who can block, guys who can run. I think they like that. But I also think they like to have a mix of guys and guys who do specific things. So with Ajayi and Clement, you do have that mix a little bit, but you figure there might be someone else they need to bring in here.
And I thought, like, with Blount, I just was waiting for him to – when you see his size, you just feel like, you know, that's going to be like another beast mode.
Run people over, but he's shifty. He's a lot shiftier as a runner than you would think. He's very light on his feet.
I don't need you to be 260 and shifty.
It's crazy, though.
Like, I need you to drop shoulder and let's go get yards.
Like Carson Wentz against the Panthers. What up?
Just go run people over and not run into the back of the offensive lineman. Too many times he was in the backs of the offensive lineman, man.
All right, BLG, running back. They're going to, like, I think they will carry three running backs. It's something they've done for a long time.
At least.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe four. So of the names that are here, obviously they could go draft somebody or whatever, but we've got Darren Sproles and we've got Donnell Pumphrey.
Well, Sproles is a free agent.
I know he is. I'm just saying, like, there's the potential to bring him back, and Pumphrey, of course, on the roster. How do you – are those – is Pumphrey the guy that they want to step up? I mean, or is that
they want him to.
Right. Is there, but, like, so how does this play out in your mind?
So with Pumphrey – obviously, he deserves a chance in training camp. They picked him on the fourth. They traded up in the fourth round to get this guy, so they're going to give him that chance. And in fairness to Donnell Pumphrey, he apparently had a hamstring tear last year, and he said he was trying to play through it, which is why he didn't play well in the preseason. We'll see.
Sounds like an excuse to me. If it is real for a guy like that, that's an injury that will kill everything
he
does.
He gets this camp, but he's not a lock on the roster. He gets the opportunity to earn his spot on this team this year, so we'll see what he can bring. Wendell Smallwood obviously fell out of favor last year. He's going to have, again, this offseason to see if he can do anything. One of the biggest problems with him is he hasn't been able to stay healthy. In training camp, he's missed a big chunk of practice each summer. So he needs to stay on the field and prove he can do something, because he was looking good when he was healthy in camp last year, but that didn't materialize in the season. So you have those guys under contract. We'll see what happens with Darren Sproles. Kind of hard to know for sure at this point. He might take his time. I'm sure he's not in a rush to kind of find a new home. The market will be there for him when he wants to sign with a team, whether that's here or elsewhere. But it's a need. It's interesting because you have Corey Clement And I think what he did as an undrafted rookie was great. He can play in special teams. He obviously stepped up as a receiver, 100 yards in the Super Bowl. I mean, but I don't think he's, you know, he's not a feature back. And, right. and I keep, you know, we said he was just a guy. He was obviously more than that, but I still don't think, you know, he's this dynamic player. And Ajayi's on the last year of his deal. So they don't necessarily have an immediate need at running back, but they got to figure out what they're doing here.
Now, when it comes to the backs that are having health issues in training camp,
yep.
this isn't the training camp of old.
Yeah, they're not beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah, this isn't live drills two times a day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. where you're getting pounded on.
So it's even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah.
is it just because you're soft?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair question.
He's really small, too.
Yeah.
Sproles is small, too. So, no, but I mean, when you're having injury issues, is it a lack of you're not taking care of yourself?
Sure.
You're not stretching at night
it's
or something before you go to bed? Because, I mean, like, what is it then? If you keep getting hurt in camp, and camp is nothing like it used to be. I mean, it's nothing like it used to be. It's not 9-on-7. You know, full contact tackle to the ground,
right?
Like Big Red used to have us doing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no. I'm
Stop with, being soft.
Look at that. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Toughen up, man. But I do think, and I'll stay with you here, BLG, because I do. I think that, and it could be something they address in the draft. I think they are looking for someone to have on a rookie contract at that position long term. But the Darren Sproles thing is interesting too because they don't have a kick returner on the roster right now. I mean, that's something we haven't even mentioned, it seems like, but that's a role that's gonna have to be filled.
Well, one of the things that Doug Peterson said at the combine, and it's kind of funny, like you would think, you know, you ask the head coach the question of what do you need to prove on the most, you might not think special teams would be the first thing. That is the first thing he brought up at that point, so that signals to me that's something on their mind. They need to get someone in here who gives them that extra boost in the return game, because last year they didn't have it. You know, Darren Sproles got hurt earlier in the season. Kenyon Barner had like a nice punt return in his first game back with the team or so. But after that, you know, you weren't getting anything. And I think that if you have this great offense like the Eagles had last year and a good defense, like that's just the extra boost that you're looking for at that point. You don't have a lot of holes on this roster. Let's try to get someone who can be a good returner and kind of just give this that extra edge, because the special teams unit as a whole wasn't bad last year, but as I just said, it was a unit that could certainly be improved upon. And when you are this good and, you again, you don't have those obvious roster holes all over the roster, you kind of start to try to take care of the things that, you know, like the luxury things. And finding a returner, I think, is a big one.
In addition to that, you mentioned before, obviously, the tight end spot. They lose Trey Burton. They lose Brent Celek. Wide receiver, trade away Torrey Smith. Trey, let's go wide receiver first. Can Mac Hollins be what Torrey Smith gave you this past season?
Yes, I think. I think, you know, if he steps up, you know, I really don't know much about him.
Outside of what we've seen.
Yeah, outside from what we've seen. I mean, you know, who knows? You know, it depends on how he's going to come back, how he's going to work this offseason. I mean, you need a speed guy. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that can blow the top off of the defense, that can get downfield. You need that deep threat.
How important is that? To have someone who can take the top off the defense, because we used to get into this argument all the time with DeSean Jackson and the importance of that guy for that specific reason.
Yeah.
How important is that?
Hey, man, it changes the game, because now you can't always think that it's all going to be right there in front of you. That means that the safeties are going to have to change how they play. Your corners are definitely going to have to be on point. You know, and it just can't be just any type of fast receivers, because most super fast receivers can't catch.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where you need – I wish that we could bring DeSean Jackson back, because if we could, I would in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Bring D-Jack back, man. Because, I mean, he has the speed out of this world and can catch, and, you know, and that's what you need. But, you know, I would like to see Allen, see what he can do.
Well, speaking of bringing someone back, BLG mentioned it before.
With Mac.
Matt, what do you think? I mean, you know Jeremy Maclin. You think that there's a chance he'd take a cheaper deal to come back and come home and play one more season in Philly, or a couple more seasons in Philly?
He wants to win a ring.
Yeah.
He wants to win a ring. And he's just like everybody else that's looking at it right now, looking at the situation, that this team is going to be stacked. There's going to be a super talented team. And everybody knows once you leave this city, it's just not the same. I don't care where you go and play. The fan base isn't the same. You don't feel the same energy that you felt whenever you walk out there on that link. And that means a lot to these players when they come, when you play here and then you have to go to another city. You know, I look at Brent Celek right now and they're saying like he went and visited Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I went through that. You know, you play 11 years here. I guarantee you, if he goes to another team, he's probably going to be like, you know what, man, I'm done. Huh. Because it's just going to be a totally different feel. It's not going to even feel the same. The energy is not the same. And anybody that leaves here and you have the opportunity to come back, you would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I think with Macklin, you look at last year, he was a free agent after the Chiefs kind of surprisingly cut him there. And apparently it came down to the Ravens and the Eagles. He went with the Ravens. I think they were offering more money and more playing time because the Eagles had Torrey at the time still. Mm-hmm. So kind of didn't make the most sense for him then. But he likes it here, man. He talked about how he wanted to be here, and he was even here.
He was in the building.
He came. Him and Shady were at the Falcons Eagles mm-hmm. playoff game. So I think he would have a lot of interest in coming back. And John Clark said it as well. So he reported that Macklin wants to be back here.
Shady would come back too.
Yeah,
you know, Shady's
tweeting about it.
Shady's been campaigning ever since he left. You know, they want to come back. They you'd never feel it like this. You'll never feel it like this at anywhere else. I was in Jacksonville. I was like, man, this sucks. I'm ready to go. I'm done.
And you can tell that's what Shady's saying in Buffalo.
Yeah,
it's like,
this sucks. I'm ready to go. I want to go home.
Well, that's really interesting. And I think the Macklin thing is, has a real chance of happening. I totally buy into that. It makes all the sense in the world. It's a fit, and it wouldn't cost a lot of money. It's really interesting. We'll get into some more of the potential moves that are still up ahead. It's Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gouten, James Seltzer, BGN Radio. We got you coming up 6 o'clock, some NCAA tournament action. It's us. Until then, don't go anywhere.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, we've talked a lot about this roster, about what's here now, what might not be here soon. What is coming up next? Something that is coming up next that we barely mentioned at all is the NFL draft coming up soon. I want to get into real quick what the biggest needs for this team is, because it kind of parallels what we've been talking about from a free agency perspective, but obviously a bit of a different angle with the draft, the long-term guys. What are those types of needs? I know Darius Geis came out this week. He is a knows Deuce Daly, I believe, right? Deuce is a big fan of his.
Apparently.
That's a really interesting name in my mind. I was just saying last segment, the concept of Ajayi on the last year of his deal. Clement, while we love Corey Clement, more of a complimentary back, not a every down type of guy. Darius Geis, Brandon, that's the type of guy where I don't think he's there at 32, but an interesting name for the Eagles in that type of range.
Yeah, you never know with running backs, too. I mean, everyone thought Dalvin Cook was going to go pretty high. Some thought they wouldn't make it to the Eagles pick at 14 last year, and all of a sudden, he falls into the second round. So you never know for sure. I think running back, obviously, we haven't seen the Eagles draft a running back in the first round forever. But
Keith Byers.
Yeah. What, 1986?
I'm serious.
Or so?
Keith Byers in 1986 was the last time the Eagles took a running back in the first round.
But with them being at 32, I mean, that's almost a second round pick at that point. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of starts to pique their interest a little bit. I think it's not. And just because, again, coming back to that, they don't have so many pressing needs elsewhere. It's kind of more of a luxury pick that they can afford to do, maybe more than ever before, really. So I definitely think running back, I can't count on it just because they haven't done it. I think it's a little more possible than years prior, though, which is interesting to me. And I think they need to draft one at some point, because you were just talking about it. They got to add another one. And ideally, a guy who kind of can be, it doesn't have to be primarily a pass catcher, but they need
someone who can do multiple things.
That at least. Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. And look, JJ is going to be a big part of this team this year. Love him. There is a 0% chance they're going to sign him to a long-term deal after that. That's not how this team does business. It's not where they put their priority. It's not where the Eagles have put their priority in a long time, as you just mentioned, by the fact that you haven't drafted a running back since 1986 in the first round. So I'm with you there. Trey, when you look at that situation, first on the running back, but also on the draft as a whole, I know you want linemen, right? Like, give me more linemen, baby.
Well, you know what? If not a lineman, then I would say receiver. Okay. You know, I think if you can find someone that's, a speedy guy that can catch, that can kind of help you with, spreading out the defense, I would say they go in that direction. I'm pretty sure most of the top offensive tackles that are in the game right now will be gone. Yeah. But most of these tackles that are coming out will end up being guards, you know, once they come into the NFL, just because of their height, I think, and their size, I think. Because most tackles, you know, if you're going to be a tackle in this game, I think you need to be around that 6'6", 6'7", range. I think Jason Peters is probably like around that 6'5".
Yeah, he's 6'5".
But he's a little different, you know, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Jason Peters doesn't fit any of the rules.
Yeah. So, but most tackles are going to be around that 6'6", 6'7", range. But I would say, you know, at least finding a receiver out there that can help blow the top off of the defense.
See, I'll say what Trey wanted to say. I think they need to prioritize offensive line in this draft because I love Vaitai. I think it's great to have a guy who could play both sides, who can swing back and forth. I think he's a perfect, like, sixth
swing
offensive
tackle.
Lineman
you just
type
said
of guy.
It right there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I don't think he's the long-term answer at left tackle. He might be. I could be wrong. But I think
you
that
can't
they,
count on it.
You can't count on it. And even that, after that, I mean, they Samalo, who knows if that's going to work out. They don't have young depth at the offensive line. I think that's a priority in my mind. But also agree, look, running back, you need to prioritize, at least in the sense that that is a spot where you need a long-term answer, and you could do that. This is an incredibly deep class of running backs. There's so much talent there. So I'm with you guys. I think O-line, running back, the top two positions. Linebacker, of course, we've talked about as a need. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that you often see teams really target high in the draft. Do you think that's a possibility at all, BLG?
Especially this team. I mean, we just talked about running back. They haven't drafted a linebacker since the 80s as well, so it's been a while.
In the first round,
yeah. So, yeah, it's been a long time. But linebacker, again, you're kind of looking at that same situation like we're talking about. You don't need a guy right now. The same thing with running back. Like, Jay Ajayi is here this year, but Jordan Hicks is a free agent as of right now after this year. Mm-hmm. And obviously the injury history. We talked about how Nigel Bradham turns 29 this year, kind of year to year. He's had some off-the-field stuff as well, so you kind of have to, like, keep that in mind. And then, you know, Corey Nelson only signed a one-year deal. Michael Kendricks could be gone. So there's definitely a long-term need at linebacker, and there's some linebacker talent in this class. So I think there could be an option. And apparently Leighton Vander Esch is one of the guys they like. That's a name out there that the Eagles have been connected to. So there are some options there. I think they could go linebacker. I think, again, the fact that they're picking so late in the first round, I think we could see them buck some of those trends.
Some of those old trends. Yeah, it's interesting. 888-729-9494. Let's head out to Concha Hocken and talk to George. George, you're on with BGN Radio. George!
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Just going back to two things. Just came back to Vinny Curry for a sec. I mean,
sure.
This is a guy who grew up an Eagles fan, drafted by the Eagles, got paid by the Eagles, and then won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. The man lived the dream.
Yeah. That's awesome. About as good as it gets, man.
Yeah. So just that was my two thoughts on Vinny Curry. I mean, I guess, you just said he got paid by Buccaneers, so good at him, got him, keep getting paid. And then just a reminder that University of Virginia lost to the Fighting Airbud team. Tony Bennett sucks. Bye.
Thanks for the call, George. Yeah, how about that, guys? I mean, did anyone – I'm the idiot who took Virginia to win the tournament in my pool. So, yeah, the guy who took the only one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed. Hey, how you doing, guys? Good job, me. What happened? That was crazy. And not just loot. Like, it wasn't like a wow buzzer beater. They beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
That was insane.
This was my first time actually sitting down.
I meant to get into this.
And really, like, all right, you know what? I'm going to fill out a bracket.
Never done a bracket.
No, it's just because I just never really got into it like that, you know? And I just got destroyed, you know? It's just, I suck at picking teams, man. You know, I think my 10-year-old right now, his bracket is doing much better than mine.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my wife has done better than me seven straight years. And again, going to be this year because I picked Virginia to win the title. BLG, on the other hand, the polar opposite, has always filled out a bracket. This year decided not to. What happened?
It feels great, honestly. Just to be like, I can just watch the game.
Just root for upsets.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about checking everything. Honestly, just like with the Super Bowl and free agency coming up, it's kind of like I just need a little bit of a break. Like, I'll watch the games, but like, I can take a break this year.
And this is the least informed I've ever been going into a tournament. I usually at least watch some college basketball, but because of the Super Bowl, I had no idea. But I was saying to you guys before, it also brings up the not doing a bracket is nice in the sense that I'm watching that 1 versus 16 game, And everyone on the planet wants 16 to win. And I did too. But at the same time, I'm like, if they win, my bracket's done and that stinks. So it really does create kind of an inner conflict. But that's BGN Radio on college basketball for you. back to the Birds. Mentioning the loss of Curry there and him going to get paid. The one loss that we didn't really kind of talk about, you mentioned it in the open, but we haven't really got into Trey Burton, Brent Celek, out the door. Obviously, Celek, you know, it's we're all sad to see him go, but, you know, you get to a certain age, it's money, it's business.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Burton gets paid, has some things to say on the way out the door. I think Trey needs to pipe down a little bit. This city thinks he's a legend. Let's keep it that way, Trey. You made $8 million a year after being an undrafted free agent. Just be grateful, bro. But that's beside the point. Trey, from a team perspective, you know, Zach Ertz, the only tight end on this roster, dude can't block. What does this team need to do here?
You need to get a blocking tight end. You know, do you bring in the Bennett brother?
Oh, I would. How fun does that sound?
Do you bring in the Bennett brother?
He can block.
He can block. And then you can have the other one come in who's the MMA guy. And then we can just get it on now. It's just all in. But, I mean, you know, I don't know. You're definitely going to need to fill some voids there. I mean, you know, you need to have someone that can actually block at tight end. Ertz is not a blocking tight end.
BLG, the potential of someone bringing in and then the name that everyone keeps throwing out there who is not a blocking tight end, but Billy Brown is definitely going to be the new Paul Turner, the new whatever this year. Everyone's already talking about it. Billy Brown, and then what you think the Eagles need to do at the tight end position as a whole.
I liked what I saw out of Billy Brown last summer. I think he was right on the roster bubble. They liked him. They kept him on the practice squad, obviously. He wasn't quite there yet. Obviously, again, you know, he didn't stay on the roster, so they weren't comfortable with keeping him there yet. But I think, you know, they liked his potential, especially he was a receiver in college, so he's making that transition. He caught the ball well, I think. He has a good – when you just look at him, he has a really good size. There's a good frame to him. This year, this offseason is going to be critical for him. Can he block?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to come down to that. And I'm all in on the Bennett brothers duo.
Oh, man.
Black Unicorn, one of the great nicknames in sports in the world. Yeah, love Martellus not? Bennett. Let's head out to Chester and talk to my buddy Wade. Wade, what up, brother?
What's up? I'm going to tell on you tomorrow, boy. This show is being done way better than let me stop. What's up, Big Trey?
Not much, man. How's everything? My bracket is getting smashed. But you know what? I have a couple more wins.
Yeah.
Listen, man. Here's my deal. As far as with the draft, we definitely got to get a linebacker, man. You know what I'm saying? Linebacker, I would draft a tight end if we got, you know, some room for that. And parlay on the offensive lineman for right now because I am a believer in Vitae. So I think that if given an opportunity, he can be that staple guy. And then as far as with everybody saying that the Eagles was asking too much for Nick Foles, the Eagles did exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to keep Foles. So what they did, they put a price out there that if you want to be crazy enough to give it to us, we will take it. But they need Foles on his team. If we want any type of symmetry to what we just came out of, to have Nick Foles back at underneath that center is major because even though Carson Wentz will get healthy, right, once the knee is ready to go, he still has to spend some games to get his confidence in that knee, which he's not going to be able to concentrate on running the offense all that much. So that's one of the things that I'm concerned about.
Yes, so Wade, when you're talking about Howie Roseman right there, not rushing to make a deal, I actually agree with you. I think, you know, he's in the spot where he doesn't have to be forced into that deal. He has the leverage. He can wait. He can be patient. Maybe if, you know, that patience is at the cost of having to keep Nick Foles and have him around, you have him around. I've been a proponent of trading Foles if you can, but, I mean, it's not like the downside is terrible. It's a little unfortunate in the sense that he could walk at the end of the year this year, and then you don't get anything for him. But I do understand, obviously, the angle of having that insurance, and you have him here. You don't necessarily have to rush Carson Wentz back, and you go from there.
You know how it is. Whenever you go out and you spend money, right, you know what they always say? That's the cost of doing business. So if we lose a number two pick holding on to Foles because we definitely know we're going to need him because I know Wentz is not going to be ready to go game one, that's the cost of doing business. You know what I'm saying?
Wade, I agree with you. Great call. And you know that I've been on that side. I'm more towards the keep Foles than the trade Foles. But obviously, if you get your socks blown off with an offer, it's something I'm sure Howie would strongly consider. But I agree with both your comments in the sense that they didn't have to rush it. You know, look, we saw what happened with Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford. That was something where Bradford was going to start the season as the Eagles quarterback, and then they ended up getting a first and a fourth for him.
Now, that's what I'm mad about, and I guess we can talk about that on the other side of the break. I need to get into the Cardinals again.
The
I'm
Sammy so, Bradford
I'm
thing.
I'm so mad about this.
We'll get into that. Bradford, what the Cardinals were thinking and some of the other moves around the league. That's coming up next. Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gowden, BGN Radio. We're coming right back.
This is BGN Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's BGN Radio. We got you for another 10 minutes or so. Come your way next. Loyola of Chicago taking on Tennessee, I want to say. Boom. Nailed it. You're a professional. What can I say? It's James Seltzer. It's Trey Thomas. Brandon Lee Gowden, as we said, coming your way for one more segment. Spent a lot of time talking about the Birds and the moves that they've made, how the team is shaping up. Haven't really talked a lot about how the rest of the league shaped up over the last week and a half. Specifically, a former Eagle. I'm just going to say, Brandon, go.
I am beyond words. How I can't even describe it. It's making me angry. I'm not going to say bad words, but it almost makes me want to, because it's ridiculous how Sam Bradford just keeps getting opportunity after opportunity. I can't believe the Cardinals are giving this guy $20 million, and they're saying like this is the best we can do for the fans. And if you're the Eagles, this is why I'm frustrated about it from an Eagles perspective. I don't think I communicated this well enough on our podcast, which is at BGN_radio on Twitter, is that if the Cardinals are going to be dumb, and which they are by signing Sam Bradford and then Mike Glennon and using the money, you know, they cleared up by getting rid of Honey Badger to do that, why couldn't they be dumb and give up like 2 first-round picks for Nick Foles or something? Like, why couldn't they be dumb in a way that helps the Eagles? They were dumb in a way that doesn't help anyone except Sam Bradford. It's so dumb to me. I can't imagine being a Cardinals fan and looking at Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon being like, wow, this is the best my team could really do.
That's it. Sam Bradford's agent is better at his job than anyone else on the planet is at theirs. Trey, like, what are your take on this? As someone who toiled in the NFL for a long time, you know, worked your butt off. When you see someone like Sam Bradford making $160 million over his career and just never earning it, how do you look at that?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of like you, man. Like, how does this continue to happen?
Yeah.
You know, someone that's always hurt.
Yep.
He doesn't win. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, at least we can cross the Arizona Cardinals off on the list of contenders for this season.
Yeah.
But there was a quarterback move in the NFL this week, or last week, whatever it was, this week. Everything's happening so fast and so much going on. It's like I'm losing track of days. This week, Kirk Cousins, a.k.a. Kurt Caviar.
Yeah.
Goes to the Vikings, $86 million guaranteed over 3 years. Trey, how big a move is this for that Vikings team that lost to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game?
I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins is a much better quarterback. I think he steps in and he makes Minnesota a little bit better. But to get an NBA contract, $87 million, all of it is guaranteed.
Yep.
Straight
that
cash.
Is amazing. I almost took my son outside. Listen, man, I need you to start working on throwing this ball. You know, but I mean, just amazing, you know, that, you know, that's the type of deal that he was able to step into. But I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins, I mean, I think he definitely makes Minnesota a little bit better.
Yeah, I think so too. He's certainly a better quarterback than Case Keenum. BLG, the question is the difference the extra $12 million, $13 million, whatever it is a year that they would have, you know, that they gave to Cousins that what Keenum got, you know, what, $18 million a year or whatever, as opposed to $29 or whatever it is. Is that going to impact the rest of the roster and how much?
Well, let's just look at Kirk Cousins' record here for a second. 26-30-1, so not even above 500 as a starter. And then here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. I've always felt like this kind of anecdotally. It doesn't feel like he like comes up big in big games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I looked at his record against teams with 9+ wins, the winning teams, 4-19.
Whoa.
Okay.
So and
it's not good.
And then let's lower the bar a little bit and just go teams with 8+ wins. It's 8-21. Yes. Now look, I know Washington didn't have the best defense all those years, so it's not all on him. I'm not trying to blame it all on him, but I can't even recall a single game, one game where Kirk Cousins was in a really big spot and you were and he carried them and he won that game for them. I can't remember that. I remember games where he didn't do that. I remember when he was in the playoffs against the Packers and he didn't do that. I remember when he was playing a Giants team in 2016 that had everything locked up. They had nothing to play for, and they weren't even playing all of their starters, and he choked. He was terrible in that game. Kirk Cousins, to me, is a poor man's Tony Romo. He has not won a big game in his career, and maybe he will do that in Minnesota and prove me wrong, but I want to see it first, and I am not giving. I just think even if I was desperate like the Vikings were, I just think this is the guy who is getting the NBA contract you were talking about. This guy, out of anyone, this is the guy.
The guy Kirk who Cousins. Kneeled at the end of the half against
That's a real
Eagles.
Thing. He makes mental errors.
Yeah, he does. He does. Trey, stepping outside of, you know, whether it's worth the money and all that, would you say that with Kirk Cousins, the Vikings are the Eagles' biggest competition in the NFC right now?
I think, you know, even without, I think this team was good. Minnesota was a good team. You had a really good defense. Their offensive line was amazing. I mean, you know, I was going through, I think, towards the end of the season and just looking at quarterbacks that had been sacked, I think that offensive line had only given up 9 sacks at the time, and I think this was like around week 12 or 13.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you have an offensive line that can really get out there and protect, can open up, and then you have Cook that's coming back, mm-hmm. you know, Florida State guy.
That's a big deal.
You know, so... You know, I think that, you know, and then they have the weapons out there at receiver. You know, I think with Cousins, you know, it definitely, he could possibly go there and be a problem. But, you know, I like our squad a lot better.
Me too. BLG, you know? What do you think? You think they're the biggest competition in the NFC?
Trey just said it right there for me. People are always talking about, like, who should the Eagles be most scared of? No one. Yeah. Why are you scared of anyone? Nah. They still have Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. We'll see how he is, but he's going to be back at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, this team is still really good. The defensive line, they added Michael Bennett. Like, I'm not scared of anyone. They can have Kirk Cousins, who hasn't won a big game. Like, no one in the NFL is scaring me. You can even say the Patriots? No. They beat them in this. Like, who is out there that you're scared of if you're the Eagles? Now, that doesn't mean the Eagles are just going to blow everyone out again, but I'm saying, like, you shouldn't be scared of anyone if you're the Eagles because they have real things in place.
Yeah, I think there's no question at this point we're going to see Minnesota coming into town that Thursday night to open the season.
Please.
Now, after, I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world. It's the rematch. I think we all thought it before, and then they go out and make the biggest signing of the offseason. You're the NFL. You want to put that on the national stage to start the season.
Be a great game.
That's going to be a hell of a game, man. This place is going to be out of control. And look, if Wentz isn't back, I think that, you know, Nick Foles starting that game would feel okay for me. You know, you want Wentz back. You want him ready to go. But, you know, there's something to, like, hey, we beat you 37 with this guy. Let's re-rack this, right?
But it's fitting. You know, you have the banner being hung.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, you have the Super Bowl MVP stepping out, starting the game.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. Final thought, Trey?
Hey. We're still Super Bowl champs, baby.
Yep.
Good final thought, BLG.
Go on iTunes. Leave a rating for BGN Radio. Leave a 5-star review. And we get to 1,000. Pizza party.
That is right. John Barchard has promised an epic pizza party, an all-time pizza party. So go on, get those reviews in. My final thought will be what these guys just said. You know, we're the champs, and we shouldn't be afraid of anyone. And look, there are teams that are making moves, teams that are getting better, all that. But for the first time ever, we're the lead dog. We're the top dog. Not the underdog anymore. The underdog to become the top dog. But all these teams, the reason Kirk Cousins is getting $86 million guaranteed from the Vikings is because they're coming after us.
Yep.
And that's a beautiful thing. Trey Thomas, Brandon Lee Gowton, I'm James Seltzer. This has been BGN Radio. Coming up next, Loyola of Chicago takes on those Tennessee Volunteers. We'll talk to you later.